This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Brian Bates,
Ross Kessels,
Margaret Bates,
and I'm Vicky Marie Buchanan. So welcome back, Brian. Last week we had a really interesting discussion with you when you were talking about your experiences in the UK through the war and working towards your career in pharmacy work, and the this huge support from Boots Chemist, and you flew on a Boeing 707 into New Zealand, Aotearoa. So tell us about that, about you were coming to New Zealand on that plane and first impressions and what happened when you got here.
Well, yes, here I was 36 hours from Heathrow to Wellington, not really knowing what was ahead of me. We talk about that. Let's talk about that flight. It was a flight that took off from Heathrow, landed at Frankfurt, Zurich, Beirut, Calcutta, Karachi, Singapore, Darwin, Sydney.
Oh my gosh, you'd be so exhausted when you got here.
And then from Sydney, we got a teal plane, not Air New Zealand, but teal plane,
yes.
Flying to Wellington. So that whole journey took 36 hours.
And that was 1963.
So I arrived in New Zealand very tired and jet-lagged.
Yes.
As you can imagine.
Yes.
Met by one of the bosses from in Wellington and
at Boots.
At Boots, yes, because that's where I was going to work.
Right.
The head office was in Gusney Street. And,
In Wellington.
And he took me to put me in at a hotel in Willis Street. I was there. This was a Friday night, and I was at a loss. I thought, oh, I'll go to a movie. So I went to the cinema, sat there, and fell asleep.
I bet you
did. <was it. laughs> Then the next morning, he picked me up, and he said, oh, I'm going to take you to Athletic Park, and we'll go and see some rugby. And I had never seen a game of rugby before, and I thought, oh, okay. Didn't actually fall asleep. It felt like falling asleep because I didn't know what was going on. But he was a season ticket holder. It was a nice seat, and he looked after me.
Yes.
The next day, he picked me up, and we drove to his place that he had in Waikanae, which was very nice. But I still didn't quite know what was going to happen to me.
No.
To go back a little bit, I looked at various places in New Zealand where new boots existed, and some of them I thought, oh, that looks nice. Yes. I'm a water person, I love water, and a lot of swimming was very important to me. So I looked at all the places close to the coast. I thought, oh yeah, all of those would be fine. But there were two places I thought I don't want to go to, is Hamilton and Palmerston North. When I got in on Monday, went to the office, they told me, where was I going? Palmerston North. So that was it. The die was cast. So that was the first time I actually found out where I was going to. So the very next morning, they put me on a Newman's bus, and I was transported to Palmerston North. I think I went back 20 years.
Right, yeah, as you arrived.
Coming out of London in the swinging 60s,
yes,
63, 60s,
yes.
I was confronted with Palmerston North, which I think was really in the 50s, but nevertheless, that was Palmerston North.
And so what were some of the things that you saw that you thought that took you into that thought process?
It was just, well, as time went on, I found out about the 6 o'clock closing,
yes.
The social life, which was if you went to a party, the guys would be drinking in one part and the ladies would be at the other half. And
yes.
I was a single man thinking, well, I'm here, I must try and get some female company, but I'd be at this party and be looking around thinking, well, I can't make a move because they probably belong to someone else.
Yeah.
I'll end up in big trouble. Those were the sorts of things.
Yes,
it was a kind of a atmosphere which was totally different to what I... Oh, and the drinking culture was way, way beyond me. I just could not believe how important that was.
Yeah.
And I, quite honestly, how horrible it was. I just couldn't grasp it. So it was things like that. It was just the fact that it was a culture shock, I suppose. So... Was it,
I'm just picking up too that you went to a rugby game when you first arrived in New Zealand. Was it sports focused as well up here in Palmerston North, or was it?
Yes.
Was that part of the culture?
That
as
was
opposed
part of the
to...
culture, which is one thing that did get me get me into the swing of things.
Mm.
The first thing happened where I met some guys, and they were in a basketball team, and I had played basketball in the UK, so I was able to join the club there.
Mm.
I arrived in July, so this was winter.
Right.
As the summer went on, I met another guy who had a funny sort of thing on the back of his tracksuit, and I didn't know what it was. It happened to be a surf life-saving symbol. And again, being a swimmer, that interested me, so I became a member of the surf club too.
Right.
So I did quite a bit of surfing here in Himatangi.
Right.
Became an instructor, and that was part and parcel of it. That helped me get into the culture of New Zealand, the sports side of it, and alongside that was the drinking culture, which I got out of, pushed aside all the time.
Were you meeting women as well as men? I mean, I'm hearing that you're meeting these fellas, and that's
eventually
great.
Yes. It wasn't easy, but yes, eventually. But the sport got me into the culture. Let me say that when I first started working in Boots here in Palmerston North in Broadway, it was really going back in history because it was such an old-fashioned shop.
Right.
I did not enjoy my time here. Mm. In fact, after about a year, I thought, I'm going home. My social life wasn't too bad, but my working life was not good.
Right, because it was old-fashioned?
Well, there was also another thing which... I didn't get on particularly well with the manager at the time there. That was sad, but that happened. And eventually I said to the bosses, look, I'm going home. I don't like this place.
Mm.
They said, oh, we can't let you go home. We need you here, blah, blah, blah. So they transferred me to Wellington. In the meantime, I met a girl and we got married.
Mm.
And that... helped a little bit, so the two of us moved down to Wellington.
Mm.
But unfortunately, I was supernumerary there. I wasn't needed there.
Mm.
So again, I was almost twiddling my thumbs for probably another 2 years or so.
Right.
Eventually, they wanted a manager. Oh, I did a little bit of relieving up and down the country then, which sort of made things a little bit easier.
Mm.
But then they found a manager's job in Dunedin for me.
Mm.
So I went down to Dunedin and became the manager of Boots in Dunedin.
Right.
That was okay. That was a period in my life where I didn't really swim in there because the water was too cold.
I was just going to say, did that meet a need with the swimming in the water?
But what I did, I got back to my football.
Right.
I played football in Dunedin for Caversham. And enjoyed that. That was good. And played squash and kept my sporting thing.
Mm.
And we had a different life there because being a young married couple, we got to know some more young married couples and had it was quite good. The climate was awful. I hated the climate in Dunedin, but Dunedin was quite nice. And then while I was there, believe it or not, Palmerston North came up. And so they wanted me back in Palmerston North, and so I became manager of Boots the Chemist, Palmerston North.
Right.
Ironically, the chap I was replacing was the manager I didn't really get on with. He'd retired, but he wanted to carry on working. So I became his boss.
Oh.
What year was that?
Oh, gosh. 70-something.
Right, yeah, right.
I'd have to work that out, but yes.
And this, so we've gone forward another 10 years,
yes, all that time. Right. All I've described was happening
in
that
decade.
That time, you know, a year there, a couple of years in Dunedin and blah, blah, blah.
Did you have a choice to come to Palmerston North, or was it Boots telling you and saying where you're going?
No, it was an offer. I mean, I could have said no.
Right.
But I wanted to get out of Dunedin.
Right.
Dunedin was good to me, but I
wanted to
get that.
Yeah.
Although I said I didn't want to come to Palmerston North when I left England, or when I finally got here, I was quite happy to come back to Palmerston North and work. And here I am still in Palmerston North, and I actually like Palmerston North. It's not this sort of Victorian place I first came to.
So that's all credit to Palmerston North over the years.
Yes, indeed. Yes, yeah.
So family, you had a family growing up here as Palmerston North too?
Yes, my first daughter was born in Dunedin. The second one was born here in Palmerston North. We carried on managing Boots quite successfully for a wee while. And eventually another boss, a job came up, and that was in Wellington as the manager of the retail organisation. That was offered to me, so I became the, what would you call it, the chief executive officer, call it what you like, of Boots New Zealand Retail.
Wow.
They also had a wholesale division, and an umbrella executive officer over the lot. I was in charge of the retail division, so that lasted for 2 years, and quite honestly, I didn't enjoy it that much because I didn't take to the office environment very well.
Right, right.
I still liked to be in the retail business, dealing with the public.
Yeah. Mm.
So it took a long while for me to, get in it. But I indicated perhaps that Boots New Zealand wasn't a big company. It was a tiny company, and I was charged in a way to try and bring it up to scale. But the law at the time didn't permit any extra pharmacies being built. There was no choice or ability to increase the number of branches.
Right.
We had 10 branches, and that more or less was it. And I found almost that it was a sinecure. There was nowhere I could go. Mm. So I was getting to the point where this really didn't suit me. And as it happens, UK asked me, or asked the company, and which included me, to write the probable future of this company here in New Zealand, which I spent quite a bit of time writing this, Precy, about where we were going and what we were doing. And in the end, I had to make some recommendations. I made 3 recommendations. One was stay as we are. The other one was something way out of, never heard of before, franchise the branches.
Right.
And the other one was get out completely. Three options.
What did they choose?
Well, I finally gave up and left. I found a that I'd had enough, so I found a temporary job in Lambton Key, a pharmacy that needed a manager, so I managed there. And then after that, I believe it or not, came back to Palmerston North, bought a business here, and started my career of owning a pharmacy in Palmerston North. In the meantime, my options were looked at, and they finally decided my third option was a way to go. They decided to close the whole thing down.
And that was in the 80s by this point, or was that the 70s?
80s,
still?
Yes, 80s.
It was the 80s.
And that decision. It was the right decision.
Yeah,
it was going nowhere.
Yeah,
I did a few things to try and get things going, but no, it was a hopeless task. Mm.
So you were talking about last week as well that when you were doing your pharmacy work that the medications were plant-based and you were making them yourselves and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Then the introduction of more synthetic medications were just coming in. So when you came to New Zealand, what was it like from that perspective in the medications?
No, much the same. Basically, pharmacy had developed in parallel ways.
Right.
With, there was very little difference in at that stage. Dispensing was much the same.
Right.
Oh, there were slight differences, but the number of medicines that were available were much the same as the UK when I left. So that was no change.
So the synthetic medicines coming through too, did you have to learn more about that as well as the changes?
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, this is professional development.
Mm.
You had to do this. I mean, any profession, you have to keep up to date with all the developments. Mm. And yes, that's all part of it. That a new medicine would come on the market and you'd have to learn about it. You'd have to learn all the side effects and everything about it. And that was a continual thing,
Did that, talking about the synthetic medicines, that was the sort of, was that the advent of the sort of big pharmaceutical companies?
The big pharmaceutical companies were already there.
Yeah.
But they weren't as big as they are now.
Yes.
In the UK, I think I mentioned May and Baker. There's Parke Davis, Glaxo, which had coincidentally started in Palmerston North.
Bunnythorpe.
Yeah.
And Smith Kline French. All these big drug companies were already in existence, but bit by bit, they were then working on the synthetic pharmacy that we have today.
Right.
And it got bigger and bigger. So Big Pharma came out of that early stage.
Right
at that beginning.
Right.
Yes.
Did you miss not making up the medicines and things like that?
Yes, I did. And that was part of the problem in the office environment.
Mm.
I missed all the aspects of working in a pharmacy rather than in an office. It was the culture which I didn't take to very well.
So then you bought your pharmacy here in Palmerston North?
Yes.
Was that Cook Street or...?
No, that was in Broadway.
Okay.
At that time, and funny enough, it was just along from Boots where I used to manage.
Okay.
I kept going back to Boots. But at that time, there were, I think it's 11, 10 or 11 pharmacies in the CBD of Palmerston North, right along the square and a little bit Broadway. My pharmacy was in Broadway, but I could see the writing on the wall. The plaza was developed, shopping habits changed, and bit by bit, pharmacies dropped off.
Mm.
And I could see that things were not going to be very good in the central business district for pharmacy. So I was very lucky because there was an opportunity. I saw there were four doctors set up in Cook Street. They'd been there for a year, and on the corner was a co-op piece type shop, but I could see a space where a pharmacy could be built.
Yeah, yeah.
So I arranged with the owner of that business to build the pharmacy, and I took that over. Now, my theory or whatever what was going to happen is correct, because there are, in fact, no pharmacies in the central business district now.
No, you're quite right.
And this happened. So I was lucky that I had the foresight to get out and stuff. And yes, so I think I lasted for about 15 years or perhaps a bit more, in Broadway, in Cook Street, and finally sold the business, and it's still there.
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, still
what
there.
Did you like about it there? It strikes me it's quite a community hub.
Yeah, it's different. The pharmacy when I was with Boots was always in the centre of cities, towns, or what have you. Mm. It was that kind of business, which the retail part of it was heavy. The dispensing business varied, but the main emphasis was on the retail side. Mm. And my experience here in New Zealand was much the same. All the pharmacies in New Zealand were in central business districts.
Right.
Like the Boots in Wellington was in Willis Street, in Hamilton in Victoria Street, there's Whanganui. All those places were in the centre of the city. It was that kind of retail. Mm. I moved out into Cook Street. It was totally different. Mm. And I had to get used to it because I'd only worked in city centre pharmacies. So it took a little bit of getting used to. But yes, when I finally got it, I did enjoy it because there was more emphasis on the dispensing and dealing with that kind of side of the business.
And really getting to know the families as well.
Getting to know the clients and what have you,
So again, there's fast forward to 2023, there's changes again in pharmacies, isn't it? That they're more, in some areas they're liaising more with people and prescribing medications. What's your thoughts about the future of pharmacies?
Well, that's interesting because at one period... in my early days in Cook Street, I was on the council of the Pharmacy Guild, and we could see the future of pharmacy developing aspects of what we're seeing now. Mm. It was in its infancy, it really hadn't happened, but we knew that this would probably happen, so we had to start planning for that eventuality. Mm. What you're seeing now is the results of that planning, where in pharmacies now, the pharmacist will give you COVID injections, will give you all sorts of treatments, and it's even going to get more because the government even just recently said that to take the ease off general practice, pharmacies will have to do more. Mm. So yes, to answer your question, that wasn't the case when I... was working. It was just starting to come in, and now, pharmacy has and it's always had an important part to play, but that part is now much more important.
Yes,
and that's good.
What year were you predicting, you know, that this would happen, just to get the timescale?
When I say, firstly, it wasn't necessarily me predicting; it was a group of us in the council at the. But we all agreed that this was going to happen. That would be probably about 20, maybe even 30 years ago, quite some time ago, when we were looking to the future.
So if you look another 20 or 30 years to the future, what do you see in pharmacy careers? The place of a pharmacy?
I think it will just slowly develop. The pharmacy will never be a general practitioner, it will never be a doctor, but the trained professional pharmacist will always have a place in community health. That's it. So the future will be what comes where something in that field that a pharmacist can do, they will do.
So here you are in Palmerston North, and I think also your mother back in the UK, and you obviously wrote to her and kept in communication with her in that time. And did she ever come out to New Zealand?
Yes, she did come out. And we brought her out about 3 or 4 times to stay with us, and she loved it. The last time she came, she said... I've had the travel. She can't handle the travelling anymore. It was just too much. Yeah. So I said to her, "Mum, don't worry. I'll come over and see you every year."
Yeah.
Thinking at her age that probably 5 or 6 years, that would do it.
Yeah.
21 years later, she died when she was 97. And all that period, I went over every year to to see her, which was great. I mean, enabled me to stay in touch with my country and see the developments.
Yeah.
She still lived in Dagenham. I went home to Dagenham.
Same house?
Same house for a start with, but finally we had to move her into a gated sort of community, which was good. Unfortunately, this was a place where each resident had a little unit with one bedroom and kitchen, loungy type place, and quite nice. But fortunately, they had another little area where I could stay, like a little guest room.
Oh, that's good.
And so I was able to go and stay there when I went. Mm.
Yeah.
And in all that, living here in Palmerston North, you met the lovely Margaret too.
Oh, of course.
And how long have you both been married?
33 years.
So yes. Good old Palmerston North.
Well, this is right. It's quite funny, just as an aside, that I amazingly still have some friends, and I have some friends in the UK, and they've come out. And one particular couple came out, and they stayed with us for a couple of weeks. Then they took a tour of New Zealand, and they came back to us. And I said, okay, you've seen New Zealand. Where do you want to live? They said, either Wellington or Palmerston North.
Well,
I
there
said,
you
what?
Go.
Palmerston North. Everybody denigrates Palmerston North that don't live here. They think it's awful. Think of John Cleese and Mount Cleese.
The Spanish.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they said, no, you've got everything here.
Yeah.
Because we were over there and he bought, of all things, a Saab. And he hadn't actually taken delivery, and he said, I've got to go and have a look and make develop. Do you want to come with me? I said, yeah. Jumped in the car. An hour later, we got to the dealer. I said, hold on, what about when you want your service? So I said, oh, I've got to bring it here. And then it made me realise that we have everything here. We have our hospital. Yeah. We're self-contained.
Mm.
And that is a thing I do like.
And closer and closer to Wellington as well.
And I'm close to Wellington.
Hawke's Bay or Taranaki as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing an incredibly rich life and full of amazing experiences, and being a lovely, lovely member of the community in Palmerston North and servicing and helping so many people in your time too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.